What do I believe? What do you believe about the Bible? About salvation? About sin? About holiness? About women in ministry? What does the Church of God believe?
What
does
my spouse believe?
What does the Houston First Church
of God
believe?
What does Pastor Tim believe?
How does my culture impact what I believe? How do my choices, how do the people around me, how do my habits impact what I believe? How do my beliefs impact my work, impact my
school? How can I develop what I believe?
What do I believe?
What should I believe?
What do others believe?
I don't have time to work on this.
It's so confusing.
I don't know what I'm supposed to believe.
One more thing I'm not good at.
Does it even matter what I believe?
I don't do anything that's too bad.
I don't have time to read my Bible.
It's just too hard.
I'm a good person.
I study everything. I'm not really sure God wants to do anything with me anyway. I need to know what I believe.
Amen. Praise God. It is good to be together today. I am so excited to begin this new sermon series on What Do I Believe? One of the things that I have recognized, even in my own life, is that sometimes I will just kind of be going along doing my thing, and it's not until I am confronted with a very hard truth that I realize that I don't exactly know what I believe about certain stuff. Like, for example, one of the things we're going to talk about next week is what do I believe about salvation? Like, some people will use phrases like, well, if I just have Jesus in my heart, well, then I'm saved. Well, that's great. What does that mean, though? Right? And sometimes we have these phrases that we talk about, even the Bible itself, which we are going to get into today, and we have what we think are very common understandings of what everybody must believe about these things. But sometimes when we go to the scriptures, we find that the Bible actually might say something a little bit different than what we thought everybody believed. And so what we're going to do today is, or not just today, but over the next several weeks, is we're going to begin to look at, like, what is it that we truly believe about some of the most basic things of our faith? What are the things that we believe, even about some of the distinctives of the Church of God Reformation movement, right? What is it that we believe? Why do we believe it? And where is the scripture that tells us all about it? Today, we are going to begin by looking at what it is that we believe about the Bible. And as we go, I'm going to give you a little bit of a heads up here. We are going to be doing some significant Bible study today. And by that, what I mean is, as Brian is working projection, I've made him work harder today than I probably ever have before, because we're going to hit so many different verses as we go through these. And I'm really not even going to have time to unpack every single verse as we go, because it's 11:21 right now, and so I'm going to be mindful not to be here until 3:21 this afternoon. That was a joke, by the way. There is a lot. The Bible says a lot about the Bible, and it's important that we understand that. And so you may find that there are some scriptures that kind of hit you sideways or make you kind of wonder, like, oh, I don't think I've ever heard it like that before. I want to encourage you to do a couple of things. One, make sure you have a pen handy and you can kind of make a note, like, oh, I want to make sure I go back and check that one out again. Or two, and this is the blessing of our COVID life right now, is that because all of this is being broadcast live on Facebook and eventually on YouTube, like, you can go back and watch the video again and kind of pick up some of those references that you might want to go back and look at again to really figure out what is it that you believe. Because at the end of the day, and this is going to be a very common theme throughout these next several weeks, at the end of the day, it doesn't matter what I believe. You need to know what you believe. You're not getting into heaven on my coattails, right? You're not. God isn't doing anything for. Well, let me step back from that. It is important that you know for yourself what you believe, and not just that you trust that everybody else knows and you can just kind of follow their lead. No, the truth of the matter is that there are some leaders that are not exactly where they need to be in terms of biblical foundation. And so you need to be responsible for yourself to know what is it that the Bible really says. Which is why today we start with, what do you believe about the Bible? Because if we aren't solid on what we truly think and how we believe about the Bible, then we won't know how to interpret everything else that comes after, right? So if you would, pray with me. Lord God, I do thank you so much for just the opportunity to be here today. We thank you, Lord, for your word, and we thank you for the opportunity to hear from your word. Help us, Lord. Help me, Father, that the words of my mouth will be yours and yours alone today. God, would you just help us all to receive what you are speaking and to say yes to you. Lord, give us the courage to say yes, even when we're not really sure what that's going to mean for us. Help us to say yes to you and to walk by faith with you today. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So let me just kind of start off here by giving you a little bit of just some basic background information on the actual Bible itself. Like, how did it actually come together, right? Well, as far back as 1657 BC, the Old Testament, what we know of as the Old Testament today, began to be formulated together. And it was actually kind of came together in some of those early Jewish traditions much more quickly and easily even than maybe the New Testament did, but I'll get to that here in just a moment. But by at the latest, by about 40 BC, we see that the Old Testament is pretty solidly set, right? Even all the way down to the prophets and so forth, right? And so we have what is referred to as a canon. In other words, it's what's called a standard. A canon is just another word for standard. And this is what is looked at as, like, these are looked at as the inspired word of God. And so the Old Testament was for those that were Jewish, that were seeking after God, right? But then for the the Old Testament was completed around 300 BC, in Hebrew, by the way, not in English, just so you realize. Now the New Testament was very interesting because while the Old Testament kind of came together in this very organic sort of way, the New Testament really kind of came together through a series of councils, if you will, and you can kind of look back through some first century history there, and I'm sure that would really excite all of you there. But there were a few criteria that had to be met in order for those books that are now part of the New Testament to actually be included in. Let me just kind of list those out for you. First of all, they had to come from apostolic origin. In other words, they either had to be someone who was an apostle of Jesus Christ or someone who was directly connected to an apostle of Jesus Christ. Not just any old letter about Jesus was going to make it in as part of the Bible, right? Also, there had to be a common recognition by the churches. In other words, the churches that were already established, did they look at these letters as authoritative? Did they look at them as the Word of God? Did they look at them as like informative? Did they look at them as not being heretical, basically? Did the churches of that time actually adopt these scriptures for themselves? And then also that it actually had apostolic content. In other words, so it was about Jesus, and it was about the mission of Jesus, and it was about the story of Jesus' followers and how they were living out the mission of Jesus. Like, for example, Paul could have written all kinds of letters about how he liked to bake cakes and cookies and all kinds of things. That wasn't making it into the Bible, right? It had to have some apostolic content to it. And so they bring together all of these different letters that are being used in different ways. And what we eventually end up with, again, around 40 years after the birth of Christ, is... This, I'm sorry, let me back that up. As 367 years, I'm looking at the wrong note here, 367 years after the birth of Christ, we see where this, what we refer to now as the New Testament, has actually come together in Greek. So now we actually have two different languages that are represented here, Hebrew in the Old Testament and Greek in the New Testament. And so everything that we have is then a translation of all that was put together originally there. Now, as we read in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, it says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us." What I want us to see here is that what we have bound in these pages here are the great cloud of witnesses that have come before us. And this great cloud of witnesses is a tremendous testimony for us, because what they have borne witness to, what they have recognized, in the ways that they have seen God at work, now we get to take those testimonies and we get to base our lives and live our lives through their stories, through the cloud of witnesses. Through that, we get to make decisions on how it is that we are going to either live or not live in the sin that is entangling us. We get to determine how it is that we're going to move forward, all because of the great cloud of witnesses that we have testimony of through the Scriptures. So what I want to do here is I want to just give you sort of a brief overview of what it is that the Bible does, okay? And want to give you several different verses as we go through this. So first of all, in Genesis chapter 1, verse 3, it says, "God said, let there be light, and there was light." So from the very beginning, we see that God's word creates, right? We are here today because God spoke us into existence. God's word creates. Also, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, says, "For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joint and marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart." Church, I want you to know, the Bible is alive. It is alive. It is still working. It is still able to penetrate your heart. It is amazing how, when we really get into God's word, it is amazing how God can help us to really trim the fat off of those things in our lives that ought not to be there. It's amazing how, when we really start studying God's word, our eyes begin to be open to how it is we ought to be living and how we might not be measuring up to that today. As we continue on, Psalm 119, verse 105 says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." See, the word of God actually reveals direction for us. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, "All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be competent, equipped for every good work." See, the word of God actually sets us up for success in the kingdom. The word of God actually gives us what we need in order to be able to be effective followers of Jesus Christ. And many times when we read these verses, and maybe it's just because I'm a pastor, but many times when I read these verses, I see things like teaching, reproof, and correction, and training, and I think, oh, like that's what I should be doing for you. But the truth of the matter is that's what God's word is doing for me. That is what God's word does for us. Like we don't use God's word as a weapon against other people. No. God's word has a way of revealing to us those things where we need to work on our lives, where we need to submit to Him. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 17. "And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." The word of God is a weapon, but it is not against all of us. Now, see, we need to recognize that we are in spiritual battles, right? And the word of God is a weapon that we can use to overcome the attack of the enemy in our lives. Let me keep moving here. Again, there's so much more I can say about each of these verses, but I got to keep moving or I'm going to get really, really behind. Isaiah 55:11, "So shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it. I want you to know that God's word is successful. God's word is a God's word will accomplish that which it was sent out to do. And I want you to know that when we hide that word in our hearts, it will do something inside of us. We just need to make sure that we're putting it there, right? James 1, verse 21. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. See, the word of God actually saves us by leading us to Jesus. It is that powerful. It is the very word of God. And if not only does the word of God create, but the word of God also recreates, right? The word of God created all that is, and so we have this world and we are here, but the word of God also recreates us into the image of Christ so that the old might be gone and the new would come, so that when we finally submit ourselves to him, the word of God recreates us into what we ought to look like, which is Jesus. Romans chapter 15, verse 4. For whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of Scripture, we might have hope. Church, I am so thankful that the Bible is a book of hope. Many times we can look at the Bible, and particularly in the Old Testament, we might think, oh, well, God's just kind of a mean dude, isn't he? Like, he's just scary. Like, I don't really know if I want to serve that kind of God, right? But I want you to know the entire story of God is about hope. The entire story of God is about redemption. The entire story of God, even in the Old Testament, is about the fact that he loves his people so much that he's willing to do anything in order that they might be saved from the consequences of their own choices, of our own choices. So the Bible shows us that no matter how bad our life might be, no matter what kind of decisions we've made, no matter what we've struggled with, no matter what's been done to us or what we've done to anybody else, we have hope. And the Bible is a great reminder for us that if people in here could make it, oh, let me just tell you, we can too. Like, I know we've gone through some things and everything, you start reading this word and you're going to see that there are some things in here that would not make it into a PG-13 movie, right? I know some of us have lives that wouldn't make it into a PG-13 movie either. But praise God, we have hope because Jesus was enough. We are not, but he is. And the word reminds us of that. Now, as I was going through and recognizing just how much the Bible talks about itself, so to speak, I realized as well that I can go through all of these verses, and information is great, but sometimes information can just kind of go in one ear and out the other. And so I wanted to just see if you could imagine with me how it is that we actually, like, how do we actually look at Scripture in our lives? You know, like for example, when things get hard in your life, what is your natural response? Is your natural response to go to God's Word? Or are there other natural responses that you have? Maybe it's anxiety. Maybe you have a friend that you talk to. Maybe it's alcohol, right? Maybe it's you just get in your vehicle and you drive out in the country or something like that. What is it that you do when things get hard? Or even better yet, what do you do when things aren't hard? Like, what do you do when you just, things are going pretty good in life? Like, where do you go when you have a lot of leisure and you recognize that, like, hey, I'm doing pretty good. Like, I got some money in the bank, and job's going well, and marriage isn't totally crazy. Kids are managing all right. Like, things are going pretty good. What do we look to there? Like, how do we think of God's word even in those moments, right? There are two ways that I want us to kind of think about this today. I am Well, let me say this. I used to say that I'm not a coffee drinker. Okay, I used to say that. But in the last, you know what? I'm going to blame it on COVID. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to blame it on COVID. This has happened since coronavirus, so I'm going to blame it on coronavirus. And maybe it's just because I'm around the house more, right? Beth drinks some coffee, y'all. Like, it's, yeah, that's where the Holy Spirit works in her, I think, is just, y'all know, that's why you're laughing. But sometimes I wonder if we don't kind of see God's word as like that morning cup of coffee, right? Like, it's just that thing that just kind of picks us up, you know? It's sort of a, not necessarily, sometimes, I suppose if you get like a, oh, what do they call it? Just like an iced coffee, or I know for some people iced coffee is like, don't do that. Like, I'm a coffee snob, and that's not, that doesn't fit in real coffee. But for some people, like, iced coffee is the thing, or like a frappuccino, that kind of thing. And then it's like coffee, it's like that refreshment for you, right? Particularly in a hot day in Houston or whatever like that. And sometimes I wonder if that's not how we kind of see God's word, right? It's that point of refreshment that we can just have that drink and we just remember, oh, like, okay, things are all right, you know? Or okay, like I got that morning coffee, now I'm ready to go and face the world and everything. And while I want to be clear, I'm not entirely like shooting that way of seeing God's word out of the water. I would want to sort of propose to you that maybe there's another way that we could see God's word. See, sometimes I think that we should maybe look at God's word as if there is a kind of a sort of a project that we are working on, right? One in which each day we have to go and work on, right? Each day we've got to go and just pick up one more piece, right? We get into God's word just that one more time, and it doesn't taste as good as the coffee, right? But you just keep going at it, and truth is that as you're going, it really just kind of feels like work, right? It kind of feels like you're just punching in and punching out. Sometimes it looks like not a whole lot is being accomplished. But as we continue to go back to God's word, he begins to reveal to us some different things. And what's really interesting about this is that as we keep going back, again, at first it's not going to look like much is happening at all. But eventually, there's going to be some things that begin to just sort of connect together, right? And it isn't like everything, like we don't have all the answers to everything in the Bible, but as we keep going back, we begin to see that, you know what, like some of this is actually beginning to make sense a little bit, right? And so as we keep going, we start getting other pieces that begin to connect, and all of a sudden we see that you know what, like this is actually beginning to fit with what's going on in my life as well. And so as we keep going, we begin to get around some other people even that help us see that one of these scriptures is connected to the next. And then as we keep going, we begin to realize that, you know what? All of this is connected. And we don't have all the answers, and we don't know where exactly we're going to get all the answers from, but we just keep plugging away. And you know what? It doesn't always feel refreshing. Sometimes it feels like a blister on your hand. Sometimes it feels like dust getting in your clothes. Sometimes it just feels like work. It's all right. It'll work. But as you keep going, you begin to realize that something's happening here. Something more than you might have realized at first. Something more than you could have ever imagined for yourself. And you don't really know when it started necessarily, but you look back and you begin to realize, you know what, I'm not thinking the same way I used to think. And not only that, but I'm not even acting the same way I used to act. I'm doing things different. I'm seeing the world different. And you're not really going to understand how all the different happened, but eventually you're going to look back and you're going to see, like, I got some things put together now. And I don't know when exactly it happened that all of it got put together, but it's definitely there. Now, what's even better is that eventually, as you keep going back, you keep picking up pieces, and you keep finding more connections. As you keep getting connected with others, as you keep studying the Bible with other people, with people who've been around God's Word for a lot longer than you have, you begin to realize that, you know what? Like, this isn't just stuff that I'm putting together, but what I'm doing is I'm actually building something. Something that if I had more than a few more minutes left here, that would actually become a table. Something that would be able to hold me up. Something that's stronger than I am. Something that I recognize I can't tear apart with my own hands. Something that's larger than I am. I want you to think about the building that we're in even right now. We're in this building that literally, if a hurricane hit us right now, this would probably be one of the safest places to be. Because on either side of this room right now are concrete walls that would literally take an act of God to tear down. See, as we keep going back to God's Word, we keep building something that protects us and holds us and strengthens us. Because the truth of the matter is that there's going to come a day in our lives where something hard is going to happen. And that morning cup of coffee might be nice and refreshing, but it isn't going to help us understand what truth really is. See, sometimes we're going to be going through some experiences that make us wonder, like what is even true anymore? Like, you may have a relationship that is severed, and you may have thought for a long time that the truth about that relationship was that it was going to last forever. Well, when it doesn't last forever, what is still true for you? Maybe you thought that you had this job that was going to set you up for retirement, and all of a sudden you get laid off. And now this truth that you thought was set in stone, all of a sudden it is not. What is true for you now? See, God's Word, while sure it can be a great point of refreshment from day to day, it is also the power that holds us when we are broken. It is truth when everything else is a lie. It is what holds us up when everything else is crumbling around us. And it doesn't happen in any kind of flashy way. It doesn't happen in any way that other people would be necessarily be drawn to. But if you just keep plugging at it each and every day, and you keep learning more about it, you keep learning how it is that you are connected to this thing. See, this is not just a book about history. This book is about your life. And when you begin to study it as if it is about your life, then you realize that even if everything else is broken and everything else is a lie, you are still held strong because you are solid on the Word of truth. See, but we have to really look at and evaluate, what do we really believe about God's Word? Is it just this point of refreshment that we go to in order that we might have something to post on our social media? Or is it the place that we stand on when everything else is broken? And here's the crazy part. Like, for some of us, maybe the Word hasn't built anything inside of you yet, But you know you need to get there. And the hard part is sometimes you're already in that place of brokenness. And when you're already broken, it can be so hard to just keep going back to the pile because there's so much that is just overwhelming you in your life. And I just want to encourage you, if you just keep going back to the pile, if you just keep bringing one more verse, if you keep finding those connections, if you keep studying God's word with others, I want you to know you're not going to see it overnight, but you're going to begin to build something in your life too. And even in the midst of your storm, God will show you truth. God will show you protection. God will show you deliverance. He will show you who He is in your life. And that will bring you through anything. So what role is the Word of God supposed to have in our lives? Let me just share a few more scriptures with you here. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, says Jesus answers, this is when he's being tempted by Satan, says, it's written, man shall not live on bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. See, the word of God is our source of life. It is, when Jesus was being tempted by the devil himself, like he wasn't just looking for a meal, and he'd been 40 days without food now, mind you, right? Like I would have been starving myself, like just looking for any kind of crumb of anything, right? And Jesus recognized even in that moment that we are not sustained by the food that we eat, but by the word of God that is within us. See, the truth is, as much as we love our family and our friends, they can't sustain us. And if we look to them to do what only God's word can do, then not only will they fail us, but we will be ultimately confused because we've given to others a responsibility that was not theirs to start with. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 8 says, the grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of our God will stand forever. Church, I just want you to know, like as hard times are going to come, and they're going to be hard. I'm telling you, like the Bible promises that life is going to be hard. So if any of you are under the impression that, okay, well, if I serve God, then everything's going to be peachy, I'm just letting you know right now, that's not what God's word says, right? Jesus promised his disciples they would experience persecution. The Bible doesn't tell us that life is going to be easy, but the Bible is eternal. God's word is eternal. So no matter how easy or difficult life might be, like His word is our solid foundation. Psalm 119:11 says, I've stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. The word of God is a defense for us. Recognize this. We're going to talk in a few weeks about what it is to, like, what do we actually believe about living a holy life. But I want you to know God's word has the power to can empower us to live a holy life, to live a life outside of sin, in order that we might not just be forgiven, which we can be, but that we might also live a life outside of sin as well, that we might glorify God in all that we do. John chapter 8, verses 31 and 32, Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. It brings freedom to us. And even John 17:17 says, sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. The word of God is truth when everything else is a lie. Part of the struggle that we are seeing in our world today is that people are trying to define truth by all kinds of different means and measures. They're trying to find meaning in all kinds of different places. And the truth of the matter is that we were never designed to find truth in those ways. God's word is our source of truth. Even Matthew 28:20, Jesus, after he's talked to his disciples about the Great Commission, he goes on to say, and teach them to obey everything I have commanded you. See, God's word is even part of that discipleship process. See, we need to recognize that this truth of God is not just for us, but part of the responsibility of those that are following after Jesus is then to teach this truth to other people as well. So then, how do we respond to this word? How do we respond to the word of God itself, or how do we even just follow up on all this? And so first of all, James chapter 1 verse 22 says, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves, but do what it says. The word of God is not designed as a theory. Amen, pastor. I'll give it to myself. That's all right. The word of God is not designed as a theory, but it is a book of practice. It is supposed to impact how you live and what you do. Matthew chapter 7 verse 24, everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock, right? In this particular parable, the foolish man wasn't the one who didn't hear the word. The foolish man was the one who didn't do what the word said. We can't be foolish. We must be wise. So what can we do, like practically speaking then, what can we do in order to respond to God's word, in order to be able to really receive God's word into our hearts? Well, first of all, I want to encourage you to establish some personal rhythms of Bible study in your life. Again, just like in building this table here, it's not going to feel real flashy sometimes, and sometimes it's just going to feel like you're just going to a pile and doing the same thing over and over again. But I want you to know that as you keep going back, as you set that rhythm in your life, for me, it's first thing in the morning. If I don't read my Bible before my kids are awake, there's a very small chance that it's actually going to happen until they go to sleep that night, right? Whatever that rhythm is for you, maybe it's at lunch, whatever it is, find that time that you can set a rhythm in your day where you can get into God's word. And even if you're not doing anything right now, just read something. You don't have to read a whole book. You don't have to read a whole chapter. Just start with a story. Start in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, either one of them, pick one, and just read it one story at a time. If that's where you are, be there. But do it, right? And set a rhythm for that, a routine for that, set a schedule for that, so that you can keep going back to the pile and begin to build something firm in your life. Also, I'm going to be talking about this a lot, but really want to encourage you to find a community group if you haven't yet. Community groups are a great place to process God's word together. And so if you're having a hard time understanding God's word, if you're having a hard time like figuring out like what am I supposed to do with this, or how does this apply to my life, like community groups are designed in order for you to be able to learn those things in a group, in a community, right? And so where you might be falling short in terms of understanding, there are people around you that you can all process God's word together. And so if you don't have that group or those people that you can process God's word with, I really want to encourage you to do that. We've already talked about the Jesus and politics event that we're getting together on next Saturday. Where this is great is, again, this is just another way in which we can process God's word together and how it practically applies to our political system and how we view it, how we interact with others about it, right? And so if we want to apply God's word to how we vote, if we want to apply God's word to how we interact with people who maybe don't vote like us, if we want to apply God's word to that, then we need to be around people who can process those things with us together. That's just another opportunity where we can do that. Let me go ahead and invite the worship team back up here. And as they come, more than anything, what I want you to do is I want you to take an opportunity this morning to really stop and think about what is it that you really believe about God's word? Is this just another book among all kinds of religious books? Or is it just another book among any book at all, for that matter? Is it just another history book? Is it just that point of inspiration in the morning for you? Or is it your source of life? Is it that place, is it that refuge that you go to in the midst of a storm? Like, what do you really believe about God's word? And here's what I really want you to think about. Based on how you live your life, what does that say about what you believe about God's word? Is God's word just something that you go to when you feel bad? Or is God's word something that you keep going back to in order that you might be ready for the moments that are hard? What is it that you believe about God's word? Pray with me. Lord God, I thank you so much for your word. And I thank you, Lord, for the truth of your word. I thank you for the truth of Jesus Christ that is found in here. And I thank you, Lord, for the truth about us that is found in here. Help us, Father, that we might truly submit ourselves to what you would have us to believe. Line us up with your thoughts, with your spirit, God, that you might direct us as you would have us to go. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.